Glory to God. Hallelujah. The scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, there's plenty of folk, but it doesn't matter. If God's for you, the other ones don't seem to count for a whole lot. Amen. What I received of the Lord earlier this week, you know, we've been teaching what I call great stories from the Bible for quite some time, along with a little bit of teachings on vision peppered in here recently. But last week we went back to another one of the great stories of the Bible, the prodigal son, and ministered some things there. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to teach about Abraham. Vision Sunday's coming, and I think we will, for the next 3 weeks, be on Abraham, culminating on Vision Sunday and how vision changed Abraham's life and brought some things together. Abraham is a central character of the Bible. Abraham is extremely important in the plan of God. There are many, 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 many individuals on the earth today that can trace their lineage back to Abraham on the natural side. And they do so with a certain amount of, maybe pride is the word for that, a certain amount of pride. But of course, you all will know if you're familiar with the story. And by the way, the reason we're doing this is for people who aren't familiar with all the stories of the Bible. I have found that as I've taught these many years, people who've been around a long time know some of the stories, and you know, and you can just make a quick reference. You know, that song had, I've got a sling, I've got a stone. Well, what's that about? Anybody know? That's David killing the giant, Goliath, right? Well, if you weren't real familiar with that story, that would mean a whole lot to you. So a background in the stories of the Bible is very valuable to understanding things as they are taught. And stories are for learning principles. That's the reason Jesus told so many stories. And so that's why we're going back. And even the New Testament says those things that were written in the Old Testament, they're examples to you, right? So we can see from people's stories and people's lives. So Abraham, we know that he had a son by a servant woman and a son by his wife. Culture was different then. Don't get tripped up in that. But God had promised him a son and descendants afterward. That son of promise, it took a long, long time. And they were well into their 90s by the time they had this son, that they had believed the promise of God some 25 or more years. So that would put Abraham about 74, 75 when God comes to him and says, I'm going to give you a son. And he's going to become a great nation, and so on. Anybody in here at 75, you're thinking you want to have a son? Maybe not. Mom, Dad, what do you think of that? No? Sure. Oh, boy. They believe in miracles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But there was a son, when the promise of God lingered and took a long time to come to pass, there was a custom in the day that you could take a married couple, husband and wife, could take another woman, and they would have a child by them. And literally, the woman, when she delivered, would sit on the knees of the woman who was barren and deliver that child seated on her lap. And so the woman who was barren would literally say, you came from between my knees, right? So that was custom of the day. It was acceptable in culture. You know, we would think, weird, but not to them at all. But the problem with it was that God said, no, the son will be by Sarai, her name was at first, by your wife, not by a servant lady. And so one is called the son of flesh, one is called the son of promise. The son of promise was Isaac. Isaac, through Isaac, is all the Jewish people. They're all descendants of Abraham through Isaac. But Ishmael was the other son, the son of flesh. And it's called the son of flesh because it was an idea that Abraham's wife had. It wasn't the promise of God, wasn't God's idea, but his wife says, hey, tell you what, let's help God make this promise come to pass, and let's do this thing. Go in with the servant woman, and she'll deliver a child on my lap, right? So it was a man's idea. That son's name was Ishmael. But God later says the promises of God, we're going to look at them, will not go through Ishmael, even though as far as Abraham's concerned, that was his firstborn. Blessing passes in the day back then to firstborn. So Ishmael was the firstborn in a manner of speaking, but he was not the son of promise. So you have these two fathers, Isaac and Ishmael, born from Abraham. Ishmael becomes all the Arab peoples. All Arab people are descendants of Ishmael, descendants of Abraham. So the entire, well, not the entire Muslim world, but all of the Arab descendants and so on claim the same lineage back to Abraham as do the Jewish people. So he's a very significant individual in the history of this world. If you're aware of these things at all, you know that Arab Muslim peoples are at war with Israeli Jewish peoples. And the territorial disputes and so on that wage to this day are a result of that occurrence back there with Abraham and the servant woman and who's firstborn and some of that. So he's very significant to this world in a historical sense, in a natural sense. But also the New Testament holds Abraham up and in some places calls him the father of faith. And so it's very important to know something about, in fact, it'd be good to know a lot about Abraham. You maybe have heard of something called types and shadows, or another way to say it would be models. There are things that take place in a model form that later show up as a fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. For that reason and some others, there are very important people in the Bible that we should pay attention to. One of them also would be Noah. For Peter writes about Noah, where Noah saving 8 souls in the ark is the same as Jesus Christ. He is the vessel that saves from the destruction. So there's an example of a type, a shadow, a model. Noah was a model of Jesus. So you could learn from Noah what Jesus would be like. Let's open our Bibles and start in Galatians chapter 3. Some things are said about Abraham there. And as I said, we're just going to go right to the scriptures. Let's start at 5. We'll just work our way through some things here, and then we're going to go through the 12th chapter of Genesis back to Abraham. Galatians 3, 5, it says, "Therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, and does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Now we're jumping in the middle of a conversation here having to do with how are we justified or made right before God? Is it by keeping the law? In a simple form, 10 commandments, but there were many, many more. Or is it by the hearing of faith? And it's going to go on to say here that Abraham was declared righteous by faith, not by obeying the law, because in fact, he predates the law some 430 years. So the law didn't exist. So how are you made right with God? The answer is here already given, by the hearing of faith. In other words, hear the gospel, hear the good news, hear the words of God, and believe God, and he declares you or makes you righteous. So that's the conversation we're jumping in here. And he says in verse 6, now Abraham is the example of this, "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Verse 7, "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." I just spent a little bit of time talking about Isaac and Ishmael and all the descendants and all of them claiming genealogy and tracing themselves back to Abraham. Well, Paul here writing to the Galatians says here that there are other sons of Abraham. Who are they? They are the ones who believe the hearing of faith. They're descendants because they're born of faith like Abraham was. So, verse 7 again, "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Now, you may say this is the spiritual side. Yes, it is the spiritual side. But see, those that can trace their blood lineage back to Abraham are set outside of the sons of Abraham in this regard, that they didn't believe by faith. Reading on, verse 8, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith." Now, just in case you might not know, as the Bible was put down on paper and written and in the day, from that perspective, there were two kinds of people. There were Jews and there was everybody else. We won't go into it right now, but God made special covenant with Israel, with the Jewish people, and it was further filled out after Abraham later. But there were Jewish people and there were Gentile people. So in a room like us here, there may be somebody of Jewish descent here. It's possible. But more than likely, we're all from the other bunch, the Gentiles, right? We're not Jewish. We're the rest of us. We're Gentile folks. And so again, we don't have time to go there, but the scriptures talk about Gentile people were outside of the promise and covenant of God. Therefore, we had no hope. But through Jesus Christ, we're brought into the covenant. Amen. And we have every hope of Israel and then some. Verse 8, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying..." Now here's a quote from the gospel. The word gospel just means the good news. That's all it means, is good news. So part of the good news preached to Abraham was this: "In you all nations shall be blessed." That's a quote. So this is giving you part of the word, the gospel, the good news spoken to Abraham, that he believed. And in his believing and trusting God, that's what made him righteous in the sight of God. Amen. Verse 9 says, "So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." Anybody interested in being blessed in here? Interested in God's help and blessing and so on in your life? How do you get there? How do you have God's help? You believe like Abraham believed. When you believe and you place trust in, that's faith. So placing faith in God and his word that he speaks to us is where the blessing is. Let's keep reading. Verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all which are written in the book of the law to do them." What does that mean? So God, way back, laid out his law. Adam and Eve fell into sin. They're in a condition that separated them from God. Okay, if you want to be restored to God, here's God's perfect law. He's perfect. To hang with him, you got to be like him. He lays out all his law. Anybody besides me figure out, I can't do all that. I can't keep all of that. For instance, just one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not bear false witness or tell a lie. Anybody in here never told a lie? Careful how you answer. You're about to. Right? And so this says, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book. Elsewhere, it says it this way in the scriptures: if you offend in one point, you offend in all. So being good enough is not possible. You have to be perfect, or you fall beneath the line, below the mark. So that puts us in a bad spot. But if we hear God's word, salvation available through the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him, the blood of the Lord was mentioned in one of these songs, you know, trusting him that he will do as he said he does, that's where righteousness or right standing with God is obtained, in believing the word he says, not by being good. No one can be good enough. And I learned this: quit trying. Well, are you saying we just let it all hang out, baby? No, not necessarily. I've learned this: God helps me to do more and more good in my life, better and better choices, things that I shouldn't be involved in or do. He's helping me through the years to leave that further and further behind, and more of those things. He's refining me. You know, sometimes people say, when are you going to clean up your act and get with God? That's not how it works. You get with God, and He starts cleaning up your act. If you got to wait to clean up your act before you can visit God or be with God or be restored to God, you ain't coming in. That's frustrating, you know. But you just openly receive, God, you said you'd clean me up. You'd make me righteous if I believe your word. Amen. That's what we're talking about here. Then verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for, and it quotes a scripture here again, the just shall live by faith. This is five times in the Bible, this phrase, the just shall live by faith. One of the rules of interpretation for the Bible, how do you understand the Bible? Well, there's some guidelines that can help. One of the rules is repetition means importance. You find something repeated again and again in the Bible, God's trying to get it across. Hey, this is significant. This is important. This is in the Bible five times. The just shall live by faith. Or said another way, those that are justified, they live by faith, not obeying the Ten Commandments. Now, if you're living by faith, you know, your act will clean up. God will help you. You'll do better and better. But if you blow it, you didn't blow it, because it continues to be a walk of faith. We live by faith. It's not once. It's something we continue to do. So the just shall live by faith. Verse 12, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. In other words, the law is based on obedience, not on believing. And if you're going to base it on obedience, boy, you better obey. So I can't. I don't. Right? And actually, there's no one who can. Verse 13 then says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. There's a lot there. We can't go into all of that. But there was a curse upon mankind in the sin of Adam. And that curse had to be paid. There had to be someone who could keep all of the law and be righteous on the basis of obedience. Obedience was what went wrong, so obedience is what has to go right to find an avenue for the restoration of all men. The first man, whom we're all descendants of, blew it, and we inherited that. So there has to come along a man who does what Adam couldn't, and that is obey all the law, a perfect man. And if he did that, he could take the punishment on behalf of all the rest of us. And that's what happened. A man who kept all of the law of God, who obeyed entirely and fully and completely, paid the penalty and satisfied this curse. And it says, hangs on a tree. Well, he hung on a wooden cross. So that curse was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. And because the payment was paid, God says, I'm satisfied. The debt is paid. And because the debt is paid, all men can return to God. But how? By obedience? No. That was satisfied. By believing the word preached. We are restored to God by believing what God says, believing and acting upon it. So, let's go to verse 14. Actually, we need 13 and 14 together because it's a continuation. 13 again, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. 14, that the blessing of Abraham. See, they're connected here. If you're redeemed from the curse, believing in the sacrifice of Christ, it opens the avenue and brings something to you. What does it bring to you? It brings the blessing of Abraham. Reading the whole verse now. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When we receive the Lord, we also receive Abraham's blessing. I'm using this writing from the book of Galatians to impress upon you how big a big deal this is. And then we'll go back and see, what did God say to Abraham? What happened there? So, we have the blessing of Abraham. Anybody remember that old song? All the blessings of Abraham are mine. I'm all by myself. Yeah. I don't remember any of the rest of it, but I remember that part. The blessings of Abraham are mine. You know. Well, so here's that's what the scripture says, and that's why we can say, whatever God said to Abraham, he said to me. Whatever blessing he gave to Abraham, he gave to me. How did I acquire that? Through faith, believing in Jesus. Amen. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's read a little bit more. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls it or adds to it. What's he saying? We're talking about a covenant, and a covenant cannot be broken. We're not familiar with that. In today's culture, we think contracts, and we think there's always a way out, or you break it. But this is talking about blood covenant. Maybe you see it in a movie sometime, you know. But blood covenants, why blood? Because you swore on your life that you would fulfill the terms of the covenant. If you break a covenant, you were to be executed. So he is saying here, even though a man's covenant can't be broken, we're going to be talking about God's covenant. No covenant can be changed. No covenant, no blood covenant can be broken. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he does not say, and to seeds, which is plural, of course, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So when God spoke these things to Abraham, there was a particular descendant that would be the seed who this promise was made to Abraham, but it would be carried through and was a promise to the descendant of Abraham, one in particular, and that seed, that descendant, is Jesus Christ. Verse 17, and this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. So it could not be changed. It was a promise through Abraham, to Jesus. And we in Christ, we're going to see this in a moment, have inherited that very same promise. And God cannot go back on his word. God cannot break a covenant. Another place the scriptures talk about, even if we deny him, he cannot deny himself. Even if we are covenant breakers, he won't. He can't. When you find a promise of God, he has sworn on his life to uphold it. Boy, that's a day when you realize, you read a promise of God to you and you realize, there's nothing that can make you break that promise. And it's not based on me and how worthy I am. It's based on you and the quality that you are and that you keep your word. Oh, what a happy day when you realize it doesn't depend on you and how good you are. God, I've been pretty good this week. Or the opposite end of the spectrum. Can I tell you a funny thing my grandson came up with, we heard yesterday? I don't know, maybe it's over the line here. I've been as bad as a diaper cookie. Oh. Where did he come up with this? But anyway, even if you've been as bad as a diaper cookie, it don't matter. We cannot go to God and say, look, I've kind of, you know, pretty much been good. Don't matter to him. If you've been as bad as whatever, that's not the issue. It's believing. Where did he come up with that? Well, he's in public school now, so maybe that's where. Verse 18, we'll add that. For if the inheritance is of the law, or the promise is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So we're seeing it's given to us by promise. Abraham is really important. Let's go down to verse 26. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Let me put it in today's terms. Male and female, yes. There's a lot going on in our society. Male and female. Black, yellow, brown, white, red, polka dot, purple, all tattooed, fishing lures hanging out of your body everywhere, piercings, razor blades. We're one in Christ. Amen. And there's a time and a place, you know. My wife is hosting a Bible study for women, a women's Bible study. There's a time and a place. There's a commonality that you all share. There's time and a place for that. But in Christ, we're neither male nor female, black or white. We are all one in Him. And that's why in the church especially, we ought to act like we're one. Amen. So, I'm glad to have a mixed congregation. It can be mixed up some more as far as I'm concerned. We're richer for it, not lesser for it. Praise the Lord. And through the years, there's been some family members of some African Americans that have attended our church who have said, well, how come you go to that white man's church? Look, I can't help it. I'm white. There's just not a thing I can do to change it. Just, I was born that way, and I don't know how to change it. So I'm a Dutchman, my wife is a Pole, and that's interesting. Polish. Our children are mixed. Praise the Lord. And verse 20. And this one especially, all of Galatians summed up here now finally, 29 actually. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. That's a way of saying we're descendants of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. We have the blessing and the promise of Abraham given to us as an inheritance. We're in the family. These blessings are ours because they've been given to us in the family. And we're going to go to Genesis 12 when we pick up next week. And we're going to look at this promise. And with Abraham, the promise was spoken to him. And then later it was clarified further. And then years later it was clarified further and so on. So it's kind of an ongoing revelation of the blessing of Abraham. And we have the benefit of New Testament writings that really spell these things out for us. And we're so rich having the Word of God. And these things that Abraham walked by faith 25 years, he didn't have anybody to teach him how faith worked. He didn't have anybody to show him the Scriptures on that. We do have that. So we'll go back and see those things unfolding, what the promises were, what the blessing is, and so on, of Abraham. Believers, we need to know Abraham and his story well. You know, imagine something like this, that a child born to a very wealthy family and some calamity befalls the family while it may be yet an infant. And this child is somehow misplaced, lost, goes into a system or something like that, grows up not knowing that he's a member of the wealthy family. Might live in poverty his entire life when there's a family inheritance waiting for him if he could ever be connected up to it. That's where we are. We were born into a rich family. Pastor Dan, you talking about money? that too. But the other blessings are more significant. But we need to be connected into our family heritage, into our family inheritance. And we just saw the inheritance doesn't know if you're male or female, old or young. The inheritance doesn't know if you're black or white. This Bible, this Word of God doesn't know if you're male or female, black, white, brown. This Word doesn't know what language you speak. It works the same for everybody and anybody who will believe. Amen. So next week we're going to pick up Genesis 12 and look at that. Praise the Lord. Father, the theme today is you are so good to us. We thank you for the blessing of Abraham. We thank you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We rejoice in these things, and the way it works in your house is the way it's to work in every one of our houses. So Father, we go our way today believing you are good, knowing you are good. We thank you for this today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.